If you're wondering, I just walked my wife out to the tour car, let her drive back home. Having your eye taken is almost like having a severe concussion. And so she, that type of thing, and her brain's trying to adjust, and she gets tired very quickly and stuff. So I looked at her, got done praying, and I said, time for you to go. And so I just sent her home. She's a bad girl. She's got to go sit in the room now. So if you're wondering, that's where she's gone to. Again, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I've got to do a quick rehash of the beginning, because only about maybe 20, there was 27 of us here last Wednesday, because it was just the case that's what it was, and there was no recording of the message. So I can't build off that quickly and go, because there was no sound system here this past week. So if you'll turn to Matthew 16, before you do, I just want to give you a thought. And this is from G.C. Lichtenberg. Never undertake anything for which you wouldn't have the courage to ask the blessing of heaven on it. See, so many times all flesh is grass, amen. And so many times we think we're going to do something. And a lot of times, you know what people do? When it doesn't work out right, then they go ask Jesus. They struggle with it, okay, instead of going to him first. So again, never undertake anything for which you wouldn't have the courage to ask the blessing of heaven on it. Okay. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The title of the message started last week is, who is he? Who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You know, I'm not preaching on the I ams, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life and I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm not preaching on those. I want to ask you, who is Jesus? Here he's talking to his disciples. And Jesus asked him, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answers. He says, thou art the Christ. That was given to him. Basically, he's saying, a Jewish fisherman is saying, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. The one who is to deliver Israel. The anointed one. That's what Messiah means. The Christ. Anointed. And we live in a day and age, and I went through this last week, that so many people, they want to make him just a man. How many of you know who Albert Lloyd Webber is? Andrew Lloyd Webber, not Albert. Andrew Lloyd Webber. He wrote Jesus Christ Superstar. I had that album before I got saved. And one of his songs is, he's just a man. He's just a man. Andrew Lloyd Webber, he's also the one who wrote Phantom of the Opera. He's a spiritist. He is not a saved man. But he was looking at what the world tries to say about him. And so many people, Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet, but Muhammad is the later and greater prophet. In India, when we go there, we're asking for a prayer for Brother Paul tonight. You go and you have to preach there. You have to make sure that they understand that Jesus is God the Son, and there's only the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Or other words, they will add him on to their 300 million gods. Do you understand that? They worship about everything. Pastor Kenny will, he'll vouch for this with me. The Fords could, if Steve and Don were here. You know what they don't worship? They don't worship lambs and sheep. You eat those. Okay. But they worship snakes, and they worship bugs, and they worship cows, and they worship this, and they worship that. And every village has its own temple, little temple goddess and god situation. You have your hierarchy of the gods. And with that, you know what happens? They sacrifice their children and things in their lives to that God. We have Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're saved, Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. Amen? And so people think he's just a man. They think he's a prophet. They think he's a teacher. What does God's word teach about who Jesus is? Number one, John chapter 1, verse 1. I won't read it for the sake of time tonight, or I'll get back to where I was the last Wednesday. But again, in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Then it goes on and speaks about John the Baptist, who came as a witness, and he wasn't that true light, that light is every man. And then it says in verse 10 of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. See, he's the creator. The active force in creation is Jesus Christ. You've got to remember, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you start reading, and it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said," there's Jesus, because he is the Word of God, the living Word. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them they gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." 1 John 5:7, if you have a King James Bible. If you don't, it's taken out in other Bibles. You study the extent manuscripts, the Greek manuscripts, New Testament come from. It's in over 95% that passage is found. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. One of the most popular Bibles of the last 40 years was the NIV. It's not in there. There's a note. They take half of verse 6 and half of verse 8 and make it verse 7. Because they say verse 7 is not found in the better manuscripts. Two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. I got saved out of a church that has those. Okay, not the point, but I want you to understand something. These three are one. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God, your Bible says. Some translations say he. And you can look at a Jehovah's Witness, you can look at a Jew, okay? And they'll tell you, and you say, "Who's he?" Well, it sounds like Jesus, but he's not God. The manuscript evidence supports God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I read that verse to a Jewish person I was witnessing to, I used to work with. He goes, "That's Jesus. That doesn't mean anything." To make him cry, he never did accept Christ in front of me. I don't know if he got saved or not, but I know this. I went back to Isaiah 53 and read him that. And I said, "Now who's that?" That's the one you're rejecting. Jews don't accept the New Testament. But it says God was manifest in the flesh. Exodus 3, verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." Say, so how does that work? Because Jesus is God the Son. And in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," they didn't want to believe who Jesus was. And Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." They liked him when he said that so much, they wanted to stone him. They were going to kill him. You know what he did? He walked out of the midst of them. They couldn't touch him. because he is God the Son. He's the I Am. So the first point last week was he is God the Son, not the only begotten of the Father, just that, not a Son of God, not just the Son of God. He's the second member of the Godhead, God the Son. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Okay? When there's no need to see Jesus anymore, I want you to think about this. You read your Bible, you'll find the passage. I'm not going to make you turn there. But at some point, before the creation, there was God, the Godhead. It was one God. That's what Israel sees. I, the Lord, am one Lord. Do you know, and I'll tell you, it's in the end of Corinthians. I'll give you that hint. How's that? To find out where there's no more need for them to see the triune Godhead. And it says, and God is all in one. He goes back, you see him as God. Now, why is that important? Because you know what he does with us, new creatures in Christ? He uses us as the representatives of him, of God, to reach into eternity. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to believe. You can be wrong. I don't care. I am teasing, all right? Secondly, he's the Father's gift of love. Do you realize that? People, one of the most important things that people need to live is to be loved. My sister, who got saved just a couple years ago, when she first became a nurse, she loved working in the nursery with the newborn babies in the Oswego Hospital. Except when there was a baby that the mother rejected. And they were taught in nursing school, you go handle that baby. You hold that baby. If the mother's available, make sure the mother holds that baby and gets attached to the baby so that the baby then can develop because the touch in their life helped them feel secure. It's that first step of love, the handling, the kindling, the taking care of that child. Because when that's withheld and there is no love, they have problems in relationships and connections. Because one of the greatest things that any person needs is love. And I'm not talking the love that your doggy gives you, because that's not love. All right? I could say doggy because no cat loves anybody. They put up with you. Okay? I've had cats. I want you to, you don't like cats. I don't eat them. Okay? They have a purpose, just like the dogs. Okay? So I digress. I'll get off of that. Okay? Most famous verse, in at least in America, that you would hear quoted is what? John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's the Father's gift of love. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't have to develop this a lot for you, do I? That's somebody who loves you in a way that your human mother and father don't. No greater love hath any man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. God laid down his life for me when I was his enemy. John 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. All we do is reciprocate the love first shown to us. God's love is not something you earn. It's something he gives. Now, the proper human response of the showing of love, especially the greatest type of love, is to love in return. My question I want to ask you, what would you give for the love of others to help them? What would you give? What would you give in love for the help of others? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave himself. He's the Father's gift of love. Thirdly, he's the only way to heaven. Only way to heaven. John 14, 6. I am the way and what? And what? No man goes where? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. When does your good works come into play in that? You heard the missionaries' letters talked about it. It's not found in their good works. It's not found in doing good things. It's found in receiving the love of God shown on Calvary's cross when we can acknowledge that we're a sinner. You don't have to agree with me tonight. Search it out. If you can't admit you're a sinner, you can't get saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, your little lovely child, the little angel that you have. Jesus said, unless you come unto me as a little child, right? Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. That's a simple childlike faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith to get saved. It's given of God to you. And he's the only way. You can't come through good works. You can't come through religious zeal. You can't come through sincerity in something that is not Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the world today. Well, I don't hate them. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you about the people you have prejudices against. Doesn't have to be anything involved with color. It could be gender choice. It could be nationality. It could be the way they dress. It could be how many piercings they have. Well, I don't want to be around them. Right? Let's be real about this. Think about it. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, became sin that we might have his righteousness. Hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our what? Our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He's the only way, not by any righteous works we can do. Can't earn it, can't buy it. That makes me think that, oh, look, there's a brook. Right? Can't go over it, can't go around it, got to go. You can only come through Jesus Christ. Only come through Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, for sake of time we won't turn there. It tells the story of the Pharisee and the publican. And two men came before the temple. They went to pray, and the publican wouldn't rise up even to look at anybody. And God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the Pharisee said, I thank God I am not as other men. I fast often. I pray three times a day. I give tithes of all that I have. I. That'll take you straight to hell. That's not going to get you in. I don't care what denomination you are. Because you know what? You can go down south. You can have it some places around here. There was a place not too far from here in Syracuse that taught five-point Calvinism, and they taught that children of saved parents automatically would get saved. Not in my Bible. Amen? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Fourth point is, he is the payment for our sins. For he, that's God the Father, doesn't say that. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. But the first he is God the Father. The second he is Jesus Christ. In the us is you and me. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you ever think about that? Jesus didn't just suffer physical torment, beating, scourging, and nailed to the cross, dying because of the weight of his hanging there, it would cause him to suffocate, because that's how that worked. He suffered an eternity of hell. He literally was made sin. So God the Father, in his holiness and righteousness, could pour out his righteous judgment upon sin, that this sinner and any other sinner might be given the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, he's the only payment. No amount of money can buy it. What does it tell us in the Old Testament? In one of the Psalms? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I have been at multiple deathbed scenes. Lost people don't die like Jesus. And they don't like die like Christians. And I led a great uncle, I've told you the story before about it, on his deathbed, 95 years old, seeing the devils of hell telling him he had to go, and he was afraid because he trusted his whole life in a church, in a religion that taught good works. 4 o'clock in the morning, after praying and finding, reading scriptures and singing and praying with him and finding something from his religion that I could put scripture to make it get the understanding, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Not my testimony. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I could finally find something that he could remember and put scripture with it, he prayed in French to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Looks at me and says, I'm okay, they're all gone. Closed his eyes, and within a half hour he was in heaven. But until he prayed and asked Christ to be his Savior, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It's a payment for our sin. Fourth point in this, he's God's standard of judgment. Acts 17, verse 31, because he, that's God, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Who's that? Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 16, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The judgment by Jesus Christ means he's the standard. Do you meet that standard? I always do all things to please the Father. Do you? Turn to John chapter 12. And we're going to be done. You say, you can get finished? Yes, I can get finished sometimes. John chapter 12. Jesus' own testimony. Jesus is the standard. You're compared to that standard because he always pleased the Father. He never disobeyed. Can you imagine? He never said anything that was sin. Think about that. Verse 46 of John 12. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to... He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. See, that's how you miss the standard of judgment. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Did you see that? Jesus is the standard of judgment. You don't measure up. If you could measure up to Jesus, you'd still go to hell. Because God's word says, one way. One way. When we need to go to a world, we need to tell them they need Jesus. They don't need another God. They don't need a lesser God. They don't need a man. They need the holy, righteous, sinless, second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. Because he is God the Son. Because he is God's gift of love. Because he's the only way to heaven. Because he's the only payment God will accept for sin. And because he is God's standard. And every soul will be measured by the standard of the Word of God. Living and written. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.